Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan, and thank you for joining me for the 197th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and their enduring hopes as New Mainers. My guest today is George Budagu Makoko, who grew up in South Kivu province of Democratic Republic of Congo. He joined me on this program in 2014, 2015, 2017, and now exactly 2 years later, almost 2019. I hope you will listen to his previous interviews at newmainerspeak.com because George is an amazing man. And as you will surely hear again today in his humanitarian voice, he has so much to offer to this community and the world greater beyond. He is the senior property manager, author, husband, and father of school-aged children. He is a warm-hearted person with an eye on helping others and creating a strong community for us all. Welcome back to New Mainers Speak, George.
Thank you, Kate, again, for having me here.
Such a pleasure.
Oh, yes, always.
So let's talk about the most recent election cycle in Maine. What kinds of trends are you seeing within the immigrant community here around civic engagement?
This has been a very interesting process, and I'm going to talk more about the immigrant community. And for the last elections, I've seen more involved community, and I couldn't be more proud just because of how committed they were and how following the elections and also how they end up going massively to the elections. And it was just an amazing process, and I'm so proud, and I hope we can see this more and more.
So, yeah, how does that happen? I mean, it really seemed like in this last one there was a concerted effort to get more immigrants to become citizens and to make sure they get out and vote.
Yes.
What drove that?
I think that more the driver behind this was the last 8 years that we've had of governorship and the way, we have to be honest, they've been very frightened by the whole fighting between the immigrant community and the Governor LePage about cutting the assistance, and every month or mostly every time there was something they had to worry about. And they realized that this is one time where they can participate into a democratic process, which is very available to everybody, and they can make a change.
Maybe for the first time in their lives where a vote could actually count.
Some of them, yes. I wouldn't be surprised that there were so many of them who never participated in any democratic process in their countries. Therefore, they had the chance to vote and also to even invite other people to come and out and vote. So I was so glad to see that happening, and myself, I was even more involved than in previous elections because I realized that this is one time that we need to be carefully and watch people that we leaders that we electing to the position of governors and other positions of leadership.
Yes, and start to work together.
Yes,
you know, to create the Maine you want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what have you been seeing over the past 16 years that makes you hopeful for the process working?
I can't compare with the way I came from because there's no comparison, because it's just like it's totally different process. But what I've seen in the last 16 years that I've lived here, 16 years and a half, in fact, it's how immigrants are getting more and more involved into the community, making changes in their own lives, but also contributing to the mainstream society. And that's a very hopeful thing. And I can see that happening even more at another level. And one of the things that I've seen is like we didn't have organizations that are like encouraging people to be civically engaged. And now we have an immigrant welcome center that's heavily involved into that process. So we didn't have elected leaders in our communities. Now we have city councilors, we have within the board school, people who are now in the board of school. And so I can see a trend of people wanting to belong and to participate and to make changes. And that's very hopeful. And I can see even happening more and more.
Yes, I think that some of it's just a critical numbers.
Yes.
You know, and now you have people who aren't just arriving, but people like you have been 16 and a half years.
Right.
So you start to create the organizations you've felt a need for.
Yeah. And the one thing that I didn't see happening before was like, now we're watching, like, so there's a process. Every immigrant person will come here either under the refugee status or asylum status. Once they get their own, let's say it's an asylum seeker who are here, get the asylum status, and then they, after 5 years, they become U.S. citizens, and now they're eligible to vote. And we're seeing people who are saying, hey, how many people do we have in our communities now who are able to vote? And they will say, those are the people who can make phone calls and tell them to go out and vote. So the awareness of who they are, people who are coming in and who can participate in the voting system, it's a very different from what I've seen. I've never been contacted before and with somebody in the community asking me to go out and vote. I've been doing that myself. But now there was like a really clear system in place trying to encourage one another to use their voices and make changes.
Wonderful. And I'm sure you're recognized as a constituency group for any elected official at this point. You're not just a few people,
right,
but quite a selection, and people who are proud to vote.
Yes.
Because I know that there are people who voted and knew that their vote would not be counted elsewhere, or just didn't vote because they knew it was just a farce.
Exactly.
But here, hopefully,
the votes
are being
counted.
I know that right now in Congo, we're getting results from your recent election.
Yes.
There, which is, of course, head-shaking again.
I know.
Not at all clear or safe.
Yes. So it's, Congo again is totally different. Here it's a stable and a strong democratic system. And you, and I've said this in a previous show, that you're lucky that we have a system like this where the powers are checked and balanced, and there's no one person who owns everything, who can change everything they want. But we have a system and institutions that are very strong. So, but the DRC Congo is totally different. But again, there's a hope that maybe will change. Now, the first time we can see opposition leader being able to access the power, that's a minimal change, but and a hopeful one that we can hope they will go. It's going to build up and come up with a stronger system that will work, function very well.
I think hope is really the operable word, because while it just seems like light, fluffy on top, it's really important. If you don't have hope, you won't be engaged.
Yes.
And if you're not engaged, it's not pretty what happens.
Hope is what drives us every day.
Yeah.
Because you can all, you're hoping that tomorrow will be better than today. You're facing challenging time. So having hope is a good thing. If you don't have a hope, there's no life. I will attest to that.
I say that I have learned a lot about hope by talking to immigrants.
Oh,
because
good.
The kinds of things that people have overcome are mind-boggling. And if you can have hope after that, then I can certainly have hope at getting through 8 challenging years.
And you do very good well in listening to them and asking questions.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Definitely, it's a good...
It's.
We always want to have somebody who can listen to us and share that. And
thank you.
Yeah.
It's an inspiration, and it changes the way I look at things. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. You're very clear that engaged citizens have to do more than vote. What are some suggestions you might have for how people can stay engaged and hold elected leaders accountable when it's not election season?
Yes, this is a very something that came clear in my mind recently, that our civic engagement does not stop at when we just vote. It has to go beyond. It's like a hiring. We are hiring our leaders to go there in Washington, D.C. or in Augusta and represent us. So we've got to make sure they are doing what they say they are going to do. Because you hear a lot of promises and during the election campaign. And sometimes I always get afraid that they are over-promising. Are they aware of what they're saying? But yet, once the voting or the elections are done, they access the power, the real work starts right there. How do we hold our leaders accountable? Or how even inform our leader about issues that are concerning to us so that they be making decisions based on those things? So that's where the high level of civic engagement started. And I recently was introduced to a very good organization that is called The Results. and it's based in Washington, D.C. It's a non-profit organization. It's a movement of very passionate and committed people who uses their voices to influence political decisions toward ending poverty. I mean, you can't get better than that.
I think that would solve a lot of problems.
So, right? Yeah.
It's the injustice between the haves and the have-nots that creates all the rest of the unrest.
Yeah. What really moved me is how many decisions that I've worked on or tried to influence, to talk to the leaders and making those changes, and thousands of them, and how many phone calls they do to the representatives and senators and trying to tell them, these are the issues that we worry about. What are you doing about them? Even informing them, these are the things that you should do, and give them clearly the agenda and say, this is what we think you would do and that is benefiting for our communities. And it's just amazing process. And when I attended the international conference in Washington, D.C. last July, I realized how much we don't do a lot in civic engagement. We think it's just voting, but yet there's even more to that. And I encourage people to look out to result and be volunteer and call our representative, inform them about issues they are concerned with, and just be part of that process of changing our lives and having some sort of ownership of as to what's happening to us. It's amazing. And if you're out there and sitting, have not looking ways to volunteer, I would encourage you to come into this result organization and be volunteer.
Ah, yes. So you've just opened a new chapter in Maine, you said.
Yes,
earlier.
We just opened a new chapter. We started last March. That's where we got connected, because the Ladder to the Moon organization and also the newspaper, Mjambo Africa. And I hope everyone is looking at Mjambo Africa, because there's a lot of good information that we put out there so that people can access them and can know what's happening outside Maine, internationally, but even as other issues here in Maine. So when we started the newspaper, we were contacted by Result and how we can some sort of have work together, because we all work in awareness and advocacy. So it's a very good connection there that we were able to make with the Result.
Mm-hmm. So having read your book, Ladder to the Moon, I realized that you, as a young man, got involved in international thought about how to make the world a better place.
Yes.
Really young. You were in college?
Yes.
Yeah, and got on an airplane, which you never imagined would happen in your life. If you haven't read Ladder to the Moon, go get it at the local library or buy it at Longfellow Books. Fabulous book. Yeah. So then later, that's such an important thing to you, of all being connected across countries to work together. You started a group called Ladder to the Moon Network.
Yes.
And then, because you care about people and issues and everyone's voice being heard, you started a newspaper. Mm-hmm. That's the Mjambo
Africa.
And Mjambo Africa is inserted into 5,000 Bangalore daily newspapers monthly.
Yes.
So you may have seen these around there in Swahili and French and English and
Kinyarwanda.
And Kinyarwanda.
Yes.
And so you can get the news in so many different ways.
Yes.
And it's fascinating. It's fascinating. So yeah, this is not, it's not nothing. You've been working on this forever, so it's no wonder you were invited to D.C. to this opportunity to work in an international organization. And you got to go meet Angus King and Shelley Pingree and do the Washington, D.C. thing.
Yes.
How exciting.
Very exciting. I never thought I would be able to do that. And one thing that struck me was how accessible our leaders are here in the United States. I mean, this is exceptional chance for us to meet our leaders and talk to them face to face, something that you can't do in the DRC Congo or in other many African countries, because the leaders are viewed as people out there and who cannot be accessible. But here we get to see them, we get to talk to them, we get to bond with them and share with them what concerns us, and then they can work on those issues.
Yes.
I mean, it's an amazing process that we should take advantage of.
And I think especially here in Maine, when I go up to the State House when they're doing their work, I think these are humble people.
Very humble.
And they cannot do everything they need to do. And we don't barely pay them gas money, much less, enough to make
it.
So I think any of us who had time who could reach out and just say, how can I help you?
Yes.
They want to do the
they
right
wanna,
thing.
Yes, yes.
But they don't know what your voice is if you don't tell them.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah. Hey, if you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Georges Boudagou-Mokoko. He is the author of Ladder to the Moon, president of the group called Ladder to the Moon Network, and works to ensure human rights and dignity for all. Georges is a motivational speaker and a professional interpreter as well. He speaks more than six languages, and he uses all of them to advocate for peace, reconciliation, and justice for all. In order to be engaged as a citizen, you really must know what's going on.
Yes.
And I wonder where you get your information during this information age.
It's a very tricky time that we're into now. And we need to be careful as to what we're getting, where we're getting the information, first of all, and also where it's coming from. And it's an information age and information and technology age where information is coming from all corners of all the world and from all kinds of sources with the social media and all that. But how one does get to know that this is really a thoughtful and good information and coming from the trustworthy sources. So that's where we encourage people to be careful as to what they are reading and basing their decisions on right sources. And that's why I'm always ready and to work hard for the newspaper, I'm Jumbo Africa, and we work very hard. We have so many people who are involved. I have our editor, Kit, and she's very amazing going out in the community and finding information and also talking to just not one person, to more people so that you can balance the information. So that's where we encourage people to read the right sources of information. And other than that, if that's not the case, they're going to be misled by so many things coming from different directions. So we encourage people to make sure they know the sources of the information they're getting from.
Mm-hmm. Do you get your sources of information in English?
I do, yes, in English. And I'm lucky that I can speak so many languages in French and Swahili, so I can even go to other sources that are out there in French and I can read and compare the information and be able to put them in our newspaper in a really from different sources, but yes, trustworthy sources. So mm-hmm. it's a very interesting process.
What are the names of some of the other places where you get information?
We always the BBC is another source of information, especially for African countries. There's also the TV5, that's in French, and I'm able to do that in French, and also the Guardians and so many other sources. So I have a broader perspective as to where I'm getting the information, and I can compare. We also have now established a contact on the ground with individuals and who are there, who are seeing things. We can call them and say, like for instance, the elections in the Congo. I was calling people and say, what's happening right now? And they will tell me that people are worried about to get out, and people are worried about these things. And so, getting people on the ground is also one source of good information, and making sure that the people they trust and they can give you good information.
Yes, because anybody can write anything on their Facebook
That's
page.
That's exactly not. Yeah.
So how do you fact check? Well, if you're going to The Guardian and BBC, you can kind of trust those mm-hmm. experience-wise, but how do you discern something that you see on the internet?
So the best way is to looking at their background, who's behind this Facebook. There's a way of checking it by Googling them, by looking at the names and trying to find if there's have established organization that is out for good information. If it's just one random person waking up in Kinshasa and sending an information about Kabila losing election or about Tshisekedi winning the elections, you can't rely on those information. But also, if you have contacts, this is probably one of the times where we need to enrich our contacts. Everyone can have that. Let's say if you have people on the ground, let's say in Washington, you can call somebody who's there. These things that I'm looking, is it true? And they will tell, no, there's no such a thing as this information. So broadening your contacts, it's very, very helpful. And that's best way to check the information happening.
So just like we heard when we're children, don't believe everything you see.
Yes.
Or everything you hear. Uh-huh. Have multiple sources.
Yes.
And trusted contacts. Mm.
And they know that there are people maliciously out there just to mess up with the whole information system. And that's all that's their goal. So yeah. They try to confuse people, and more information they can put out there, that's how happy they are going to be. And so we have to be careful as to where we're getting those information. And
I think that's an important role of schools today, mm-hmm. is to teach people how to discern all the information coming at them.
Yes.
What's what?
Yes.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah,
it's
tricky.
Sometimes very confusing.
Yeah. Very confusing. Mm-hmm. It can be confusing, yes.
This is a struggle around the world with the inundation of information mm-hmm. over the web. Yeah. But I think you have some good ideas there. Can you tell us about Umjumbo a little bit more, how it helps support informed citizenry, and also how people can get a copy if they're interested in that newspaper?
So Umjumbo Africa, it's a very good source of information, like we just said, among many. And of course, I'm not saying that this is only one source of information. There's so many other good sources of information, or newspaper here locally and also nationally. So our goal of starting the Umjumbo Africa as a newspaper, it was just to inform people. Because there's one saying in my language, they say that utazi munharsha kurira kuishano, meaning that if you don't know something, you can stand on bomb without knowing it. So the other one that I like about it's in Lingala, say kozanga koeba izali wayandambo, meaning that if you don't know, you don't have a good information, decisions are not based on the knowledge, it's almost like a half-dead person. So basically, we want to educate people. We want to inform people. And we want to... One of the things that we realized when I came here myself is that I realized how people here don't know what's happening out there. And they don't even know why so many immigrants have come here. And they can just thinking they here for other reasons, but yet they are here for safety and trying to build their lives. You and I know that, but so many other people don't.
Yes.
So we want to inform the public, the mainstream America, that this is what's happening here and out there, and that's why people are coming here. And these are the issues that they're facing here. Is there anybody who can help them? So, and also for the immigrants themselves, if they are looking for some information, as let's say about healthcare, about education, and about job employment, we try to compile those good information so that they can be accessible to them, so that when they are going out there and looking for something, they are making decisions based on informed mind and informed information. So it's a very good tool for them. And I always want to be thankful for people who've helped us right in the beginning. And very grateful for Sipot Credit Union. Those have been our sponsors right in the beginning. I'm very grateful for Lee Oro, who's supported us right in the beginning. And also we just Adrian Das to be our sponsors. And the people who've advertised us with us, because that's the only way we can keep this process going. Because it's a very demanding project.
Yes, the newspaper business is exhausting.
Very exhausting.
Yeah.
But thankfully, we have people who are committed in our board and people who work very hard to get these materials out there every month.
Yeah.
And we are going to have 1 year anniversary. So I'll invite people to come and join us and celebrate.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes.
My father always said, celebration is the other half of expectation.
Yes.
So you expect a lot, but then you stop and celebrate. And yeah. I think that's something I've noticed Central Africans do very well.
Yes.
Is set high goals and then celebrate your marks.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's encouraging and to realize where you come from, where you are, and also seeing where you can go now from where you are now.
Yes. I think that's really exciting. The theme seems to be, how can I help? Right. It, as a citizen of a town or a state or a country, you know, if you want to be a part of that and you want it to be good,
yes.
It takes a lot of hands on deck, whether it's putting together Umjumbo Africa mm-hmm. newspaper or calling your state representative or just asking somebody next to you on the bus.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's what makes a good village.
We've got to build that. And I have kids and I always teach them, you know, I always tell them my story that, look, I left my family when I was very young, and when I left my family, I was always helped by people that I didn't even know that they were going to be there in my life. And here I was, and being helped by people who never knew me, who don't know my parents. So it's good that we teach our children, new generation, how to be generous and also to be part of the community, not just individuals, separate individuals who are out there and looking to do their own things, but people want to help community as a whole.
It's not crazy talk. It's good stuff. George, you uphold my favorite part of the Pledge of Allegiance, which is with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for being a model citizen and for encouraging others to join you in making this the strongest community we can imagine for ourselves.
Well, thank you, Kay. You do such a good job in trying to surface those stories out there that are known. So we're very happy to have you here.
It's a pleasure. You're a force for good and kindness, and I'm so glad I know you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program today with a song that George has selected for us. This is actually a song by his nephew.
Yes.
Can you introduce this song for us?
This song is called Ibihe, which means time, and it's a reminder that we need to be aware of the time that we're living in now. And I mean, it could be more timely than that.
And it has 1.5 million views. He's quite the rock star
in
Rwanda.
Oh, yes, he's rocking in Rwanda, in the whole region, in fact, in the whole eastern region.
Wonderful. Here we go. Here's Israel.
Sinazamu ijwi ryanjye hejuru umenyesha ibyibihe nafashe n'umwanya ndaguhamagara umenyesha ibyisarura mubwira iby'ubwami ko bwegereje witegure umese ibishura byawe Chagwa muri ya mihana izuari ya charasa ari kwibihe nibikakumare imbaraga z'umutima kuko ubwami bw'Imana bwegereje witegure umese ibishura byawe Shika, aba mi bahinduke, abantu benshi bazibagira, ya jambo, gifatiro zizi. Wibutsa abasigaye, begere ya ntebe, bitwaje intwaro zose z'ukuri, tuzamuke, wa musozi. Zandikozo kugura wari wagi urazita ariko kugura ukundo ngigukunda wandikira urwa kabiri ubwira iby'ubwami ko bwegereje witegure umese ibishura Tumeze nk'ibisukwa kugicaniro kuko nigiye cyacu gisohoye
Tuzamuke, wa musozi,
tuzamuke, wa musozi, kwegeri gicaniro dutamba ibitambo kuri wa musozi wandikisha amateka y'ibihe bizaza kuri wa musozi duhabwa indirimbo iyo tuzaririmba